Well, I know what the beginning says. Brother Jimmy, see, you always, when you're not sure, you blame it on someone else, right? Brother Jimmy called for a fast. Question, sir, was that to begin today or to begin tomorrow? Well, they've half of them already blown it in there at the counter, okay? So it begins after lunch today. How's that? We're compromising, you know. Okay. He called for us to fast. By the way, it's a kind of a strange thing. There's less emphasis on fasting and praying in today's realm of worship. By the way, if you're praying, pray for me. I've really got stuffed up with something this morning. And I didn't get a chance to ask Peggy Lorraine if she had changed perfumes. But something, if it wasn't hers, it's somebody's. It really got into the deep part of my nose. We place less emphasis, and by the way, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was great practice as a part of worship, fasting and praying, in particular fasting. Now, they added some things to it. I'm not going to add to my fast this week. I'm not going to throw ashes on my head. And I'm not going to wear a burlap bag. But they did it with sackcloth and ashes. But that is not the emphasis. The emphasis is that we spend time with God for a specific purpose. And I'm going to try to remember to give you a designated purpose each day of this week. But somebody's going to say, oh, by the way, let me throw in something here. You ask your doctor, you ask your nutritionist, about fasting one day a week. They'll tell you it's one of the healthiest things you can do. Good for your body. But we're not emphasizing, nor are we focusing on the body today. Let me read, would you take your Bible, your copy of the Word of God, to Matthew 17, beginning at verse 14. Now, listen, folks, I got an earful on the way home last Sunday. Now, Alan's probably the only guy that remembers what happened. My wife said, you had us standing up for 20 minutes while you went through the Bible. I won't do that today. Stand with Matthew 17, open in your Word of God, beginning with verse 14. I'm reading out of the New King James translation. And when they had come, the multitudes, a man came to him, kneeling down to him being Jesus, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely from often falling into the fires and often into the water. By the way, your translation could say he's an idiot. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generations, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked. Every translation, whatever you got, will say either evil spirit or demon. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child, by the way, I won't do that. I started to do what I did last week. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now watch. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. We don't often recognize or acknowledge our weaknesses openly. They came to it privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And so I got to do this. Notice, twice this demon is referred to as something, it. It's a being. It's an existence. It's a spiritual, evil spirit being. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That underline, please. Nothing will be impossible for you if you have just a little faith. However, and here's what I want to bring us to. However, this kind of action, this kind of doing, this kind of power, this kind of spiritual victory, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and by fasting. Now, Father, it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit of the living God will take this, your word, the truth that changes lives, the truth that sets us free as we sing about today, the truth that reflects our faith. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of the living God will take it today in this assembly. There are many needs. I don't know them, but you do. There are many problems. I know not those either, but you do. And care, minister to, and deliver from all of those. May we go away from here today declaring our victory in Jesus Christ. We thank you for doing this already. In his name, Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, this text in the book of Matthew introduces us to a religious practice that we do very little of. It's healthy, and you ought to practice it. Just fasting one time a week for physical well-being. But we're not dealing with that today. We are dealing with a spiritual victory. Now, you'll find Jesus had no problem at all here. The disciples was the one who had the problem. And why couldn't we do that? A thought just crossed my mind. I'll share it with you. Let me get it right. I heard a man say, and I believe he was right. A man said, the church has become so subnormal spiritually that when the church is just normal spiritually, it appears to be abnormal. Now let me give you a little bird's eye here, can I? Listen, when the church begins to be what the church is, and let me help you with that, we are the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're the body of Jesus Christ. And the body of Jesus Christ, in fact, he himself said in John chapter 16, now, I'm not going to leave you guys all alone, all by yourself. You wouldn't make it. He didn't say that, but we wouldn't. I'm going to send you a helper. His name is the Holy Ghost. He works in the vernacular of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he's going to do for you. He's going to teach you what you ought to be doing. He's going to help you to do it. He is going to lead you to be the very power of God. And the church can be that. We are the body of Christ. And I believe this. I really do. I haven't seen it, but in a very, very few places. But I believe this. When the church becomes what the church is supposed to become, we don't want to catch a pulpit in your lap, do you? When a church becomes what a church is supposed to become, then we will be doing the very things that Jesus would be doing if his residence was in Huntington, Indiana. Now that's an amener. I guess I better do this for you. Steve's got it down. Steve down at the food kitchen. When you worship with the Korean church, and I don't know how they determine this, but it's amazing. It's just amazing. I preached a crusade over in Seoul, Korea. Well, no, it wasn't Seoul. So it was Shinwon City, Korea. And those people, and by the way, you go to the one over here, meets in Calvary Baptist Church, and they're the same way. Amen is, amen! I mean, they're not bashful about it. Amen! With their thumb up. And I was preaching over there at Pastor Ahn's church in Fort Wayne. And I said, this is a two thumbs, amen! And so the rest of that sermon, and then I went back to visit, and when Pastor Ahn, no, it was Pastor Johnny Yu was preaching, they were all two thumbing now, by the way. So the next time I say something like, Jesus, if he lived in Huntington, would be doing things, and the church ought to be doing the same things that Jesus would do if he lived in Huntington today. Amen. All right. Work on that a little bit, okay? Now, so, what is this thing, fast? That's all through the Bible, if you just study the Bible. I want to just refer you to one place that describes for you the benefits, and let me tell you where to go while I'm going there. It is Isaiah chapter 58 in the Old Testament. Now, they were at it all the time, so God, through the writing of Isaiah, begins to describe fasting to us. By the way, always in the Old Testament. Now, let me give you just some TB stuff, all right? I don't particularly find this anywhere in the Scripture. But if you have doubts about your physical capacity or capability to fast, go see your doctor. Let him tell you, okay? But you set a goal, and that's why I was going to give you a daily exercise. You set a goal, and I want to assure you this. If you're fasting, that is everything but water and bread, if you're fasting, without food, your mind and your focus will be more keenly and more sharply on that issue. You determine what you're fasting for. You determine the greatest need in your life. And it is developed and comes to pass here, beginning with Isaiah chapter 58, verse 4. Oh, here we are. Now, by the way, right on the front end of this chapter, he gives you the reasons not to fast. Evidently, there was some success with it that way. What they were looking for was, it seems, that they're going to prosper and gain physically and economically from fasting, and evidently there's, to a degree, some success in that. Because it is reflected here, and the guy gets tougher and meaner. That's not why you fast. Now come down to verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with a fist wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day. This day you're going to fast, one, to make your voice heard on high. Do you ever wonder if it gets past the ceiling? You ever wonder if God hears you? You ever wonder, are you ever going to hear from him? Now, this is true. Do you ever wonder, am I going to hear from God? Is he going to talk back? Will you hold that in your memory bank for a minute? So, number one, the biggest, the mainest, the most important reason that you fast is to make your voice heard on high. Think about that just for a moment. Almighty God, you know him, the Creator, the one who has control of all of this and more. I'll tell you, there's a big question mark. They're looking all over the universe and other planets. Is there life there? They're trying their best to prove that there might be some water on one of those way out yonder planets, that Mars might could inhabit people. You know, I want to tell you something. What's out there, whatever it is, God made it. Amen. All right, we're getting with it. God made it. I guarantee you, that you go back to the book of Genesis, and all that was made by Him. And that is describing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator. He spoke into existence. At His wildest or least imagination, whichever, He spoke into existence all that is. So, is that Almighty God, that glorious God, that one we talked about last Sunday, being exalted above every name, is that one going to hear you? Boy, if He does. And by the way, there's no question mark at the end of if He's going to hear you. Oh, He will hear you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to visit with you. He wants to hear from you, but glorious. In fact, the one guy that probably saw the throne that God sat on came back and said, man, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it has never entered into the hearts of man what God's laid by in store for us. What's up there? He said, I heard sounds that it's unlawful to speak. I saw things I can't tell you about. I won't go any further than that. There's another addition to that, and I have forgot it, to be honest with you. Now, so, is He going to hear me? I think so. In fact, I know so. You fast to make your voice heard on high. Now, perhaps just a very brief description of prayer would help us here. That is our voice on high. As we pay focus our attention on God Almighty. Sometimes I like just to sit down, especially when I'm outside, especially when I'm in a deer stand with my bow and arrow, and there's nothing bothering me, the phone's not going to ring, because I've already turned that off. And, you know, I try to hunt in a place where nobody else hunts, because I don't like people shooting at me. And just imagine, right through those clouds, right up past the stars. I used to know the planets and their constellation right past Mars. You know, way out there past Jupiter. Now they found another little fellow out there. That one out past there. And there it is. Glorious heaven. Golly, Bill. Woo! There's a throne. No light compares. Just no light anywhere, everywhere compares with the light I'm looking at. And sitting on it's the light of lights. God. Right beside of Him is Jesus. And I have an audience with Him. Now you remember, He's the one that can do anything. The Word of God says there's nothing impossible with Him. Nothing. And I have an audience with Him. You fast to make your voice heard on. Now listen, you don't have to fast for God to hear you. I want you to know that. I believe this, any time you pray, you know, you see that car coming right at you, God help. Now, if you're smart, I do. But when a holy, righteous, almighty God, everlasting to everlasting God, hears me, wow, to make your voice heard on high. Now, there, you'll find some issues in life. When you've lived to be 82, let me tell you, there are a few issues in life when you just can't talk to anybody else but God about. And I, you know, we scolded a guy for betting in class this morning, but I'll bet you, almost to 100%, we all have faced that issue. It wasn't any help from anywhere except God. So, you fast. Let's go on. Well, now, I won't spend as much time on these other 19 points as I did on That one. Okay. So, beginning there in verse 4 again, 5. It is a fast that I have chosen. A day for a man. Now, don't let that word afflict throw you, for a man to put his soul to the test. Now, about midnight, tomorrow night, if you're awake, you'll be wondering if you put salt and pepper on it, if you can eat your tongue. Now, you're not that hungry, but you'll wonder that. Remember, Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights. And don't you let anybody tell you that a human body can't do that. Jesus was all human. And he did 40 days and 40 nights. And then afterwards, now this will throw you a little bit to you, till I share with you. Afterwards, he was hungry. Listen, folks, after the third day, hunger don't bother you. You struggle through that, and it don't bother you. Now, here's how you struggle through it. Here's how you get on down the road with it. Now, every time you just get, I've got these jitters because I'm not eating. You get there, just start praying. God will hear you. Just start praying. Now listen, that's the whole purpose of fasting, to be heard on high. So it keeps you focused on what you're praying for. And I'm going to set number one, Monday. You focus on God, your relationship to God, how you relate to Him, how He relates to you. Just pray about it. Lord, I love you. Now that's hard to say, I know that. No. Listen, that's what God wants to hear. I love you, Father. Thank you, Father. The psalmist went through 150-something chapters saying, bless you. Isn't that something we would think we could bless God? We can. Okay. So, back to verse 5. A day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast? Would you call this an acceptable day of the Lord? He's saying, fasting's a good deal, folks. It's an acceptable thing with God. Now then, in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? One. Are you listening now? Come on, listen. To loose the bonds of wickedness. Now, preacher, I don't have any of that. Listen, if you're not fighting the demons of hell all the time, you come tell me how you're making it. I think if you're not, if you can honestly say, oh, they don't bother me one bit, I have no issues. You're just right where they want you. Why would they bother you? But I want to tell you, as you relate to your Father in heaven, as you relate to your Savior, Jesus Christ, as you give your life to Him daily, to let the Holy Spirit of the Lord God lead you and direct you and show you what to do and where to go and where to be, I want to tell you, you'll run into those fellows. They're just, I had a guy tell me, well, you're trying to say they're everywhere. Who says they're not? I see manifestations of them all the time. That is, I see what they do to loose the bonds of wickedness. Listen, you got yourself in a mess, start fasting and praying. God will hear you. Okay? Now, let's go on. To loose the bonds of wickedness, verse 6, to undo the heavy burdens. You know, listen, I just want to touch this one. But look, there are people so burdened that it drives them insane. There are people so burdened that they see no purpose in life. there's people so burdened as all that they can see is the depression and the bad things. Now let me throw in something right here quickly. I don't even have it written down here anywhere. The Word of God, a wise man, well, in fact, he was second to Jesus, the Bible says, in wisdom, said this. Here's a big mystery, folks. You better listen. Happiness maketh well like a medicine. You want to be happy? Well, let's say you want to be well. Let me change that. Just be happy. Well, how in the world can I be happy? Well, get up in the morning and say, Dear Lord, this is the day you've given me. This is the day I'm going to live through with the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be happy. I want you to put joy in my heart. I want you to put gladness in my heart. Let me look at everybody I see and rejoice that I know them. Okay, let's go on now. I told you I wasn't going to spend... And on each of these, there's a full sermon, folks. Now, come on with me. To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Now, let me take you back to Matthew chapter 17. You got that boy? He hasn't done anything. This is just a boy. But he is so oppressed that in some translations, his father says he's an idiot. He didn't earn it. He didn't work into it. But he's oppressed. And by the way, his dad is a pretty smart dude. Got it? He doesn't go, and I'm going to be careful. I am not. Now listen, I am not putting down psychiatrists. I'm not putting down psychologists. I'm not putting down doctors. But I want you to know something. The answer is a spiritual answer to about every problem in the world. Okay? So, to set the oppressed free, you got some of that going on in somebody you know in your own self. If you are living a life you don't want to live, I talked to a lady this past week on Thursday who was prostituting herself out here on the streets to buy drugs. By the way, if you're planning that on in Huntington, it don't pay very well. Now, I'm not speaking from experience. I'm speaking from her experience. It doesn't pay very well. Because she came in to see if New Life Fellowship would give her enough money to haul her brother to Toledo, Ohio. Because he got ran over by a pickup truck over there a few weeks ago. And it left great hunks out of his body. And they're not healing well. In fact, it looks like he's probably going to lose an arm and a leg to gangrene. And she's been everywhere for help. Now, I can give you all the answers for not helping her. She smoked. Oh, preacher, don't get on that. She smoked. And if she'd have just saved her smoking money, she'd have had all the money in the world, you know. I'm not blasting you. I'm just talking about how smart you are. You know, if you take the package of cigarettes and add that up by seven, wow, that's about $40 a week, and you do that before, that's about $160 a month, and you get that into 52, and boy, you're going on up there in the bucks. She wasn't the smartest lady in the world. She would have been, you know, but anyway, you know, we don't measure that. What do you do about that? We have a standard. We do our own benevolences right here in Huntington. We feed the people down at the Mill Center. We have a shelter over here for women to stay in. And my, that's quite the hunk. But you can't use that every time. You lend an ear. You just listen. And if the Holy Spirit says do it, you do it. If he says don't, You don't. There was every reason in the world to turn that lady down. All right? To break the bonds. And then it gets big. And that you break every yoke. Now, boy, I dug into that, you know, because we are to be yoke fellows with Jesus. We're to be hooked up in the same yoke. A yoke, I don't know, I'm going overboard here. Somebody help me out. Is there a one oxen yoke? Oh, is there? Okay. I was going to say every yoke has a team to it. And I think that's best. And we're to be teamed up with Jesus. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest. Talking about this for your soul. Now let me flip that. Let's look at the other side. Are you listening? Oh, we got a lot of time yet. Listen closely. Listen. This yoke, when you study this out, this yoke is you in one side, insanity, depression, wickedness, evil, in the other side. You're yoked with it. Now, we Baptists have glorified that. We've done a good job with it, too. We call that, and by the way, the Bible refers to it twice, as your besetting sin. You know, I really think I'd be perfect if it wasn't for this one sin. In fact, Peggy Lorraine and I sat down with a sister-in-law and shared with her one more time the salvation that's in Jesus Christ, the eternal life that's in Jesus Christ, the glorious heaven that's in Jesus. I mean, every benefit in the world is in Jesus Christ, and especially in the outer world. I was thinking about that this week. You know, the comeback to that cycle of mystic space stuff, the outer world, you know, Star Wars, wars and all of that. Well, let me tell you, and the outer world too. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And therein is the answer. You stay yoked as long as you want to, with whatever you're yoked with, and whatever you want to call your besetting sin. Our sister-in-law said, well, I know. She had heard the Bible enough. Who hasn't? Radio, TV, newspaper. In fact, the first time I flew into Fort Wayne, they said, welcome to the pilot did. Welcome to the city of churches. Do you know they call Fort Wayne the city of churches? You look out the window, and that dude must have really been proud of the city of churches, because he circled. So both sides could see all of those steeples. Boy, you look at the downtown area, and there are just tons of steeples sticking up. Well, she said, I know. Most people do, to be honest with you. You know. Jesus is the answer. Eternal life's in him. My only hope is in Jesus. But I have one problem. And she knew it. I'm addicted to gambling. She had a heart attack. Now, by the way, wherever she is tonight, she left planet Earth a few years ago. And wherever she is, she's here it is. I'm aware of that. One problem. I'm addicted to gambling. I'm not willing to give it up. And as far as we know, she never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. What are you yoked with? Call it your besetting sin. Call it your big problem. call away. But listen, fasting and praying breaks that yoke. I might I ought not say this. And I'm thinking about right now, while I'm thinking about it and getting me a drink of water, I'm trying to clear up this stuffiness. I looked. And I don't know whether this works or not. The Word of God says, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. I don't know. Would fasting and praying, how long it would take if it does work? I just know this. Be careful, okay? Now let's go on quickly in Isaiah 58, down to verse 7. And by the way, just in case you've got two besetting sins, read the next part of that verse. And every yoke, break every yoke. Okay. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light breaks out. Let me tell you, when we fast and pray, it brings out compassion in us. It creates compassion. It creates love. We'll talk about that next Sunday. It creates love. It creates caring. And Paul warns about a hard heart and a seared conscience, and you want to guard yourself against those. And so, day one, you want to focus on God. Tuesday, you focus on yourself, the sin. And by the way, who was the preacher? Dr. R.G. Lee, a great preacher in Memphis, Tennessee, had a man come forward one Sunday and come to him and said, Dr. Lee, there's just something wrong with me. There's something bad wrong with me, and I don't know what it is. And Dr. Lee said, hush. That was his style. And the man looked up and he said, just get up on your knees at that altar and guess you'll get it right the first time. Okay? God wants you to overcome. He wants you. And so, if you don't have any compassion, you have a hard heart. And by the way, that hard heart goes more than just to the poor and the naked and the needy. If you aren't careful, that hard heart will grow. You wouldn't want that in you, would you? But it will grow. Did you hear about the old boy that when they were talking about giving to the missions, you know, to go in all the world and preach the gospel. And he stood up and said, preacher, 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 I believe that missions begins at home. A few days later, they were talking about going out to the cemetery that the church owned and cleaning it up, making it look nice. He said, the Word of God says, let the dead bury the dead. You watch it. There's always an answer. So, fasting and praying creates compassion, creates caring, creates concern. Don't ever be without it. And if you are, you might want to go on a 2 weeks fast. That changed your mind, didn't it? Okay. Now, come on down with me quickly. And we were talking a while ago. Did somebody set that clock? It was wrong a while ago. I don't want you cheating me out any of my time. Good gracious, I have gone. Thank you for pointing that out to me. Okay, last thing. Verse 8. Your light shall bring forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness, here we go. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Folks, are you convinced that fasting is a way of life that every believer, if he's to grow, if he's to be what God wants him to be, is to be a part of. I want to challenge you this morning. You say, well, I've never done it before. That's the Baptist motto, you know. We've never done it that way before. I want to challenge you. Will you today, I didn't finish up what I had, but if you today, will you say, tomorrow I'm going to focus on God Almighty, His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, heaven and all that therein is. Tuesday, I'm going to focus on myself, just me, my yokedness, my inability to control what's going on in my life, my inability to be able to turn everything over to Jesus. Wednesday, I'm going to focus on New Life Fellowship, its women's ministry, the church, the meal ministry, the Columbia City situation. Listen, you can pray all day for any one of these. Now, every time, and by the way, the further into the fast you go, the more alert, conscientious you are, and conscious of the Holy Spirit working in you. Thursday, focus on the future. Now, Jimmy didn't tell me these. I got these on my own. Focus on the future of all of this. Where do we go next? What's the next ministry God wants us in? How do we handle those ministries we have now? We're going to do that on Wednesday. Then Friday. On Friday, I want you to focus all day Friday on victory in Jesus. Here at New Life Church. Here, Sunday morning. Here, Wednesday night is Dan's groups lead us in study of the Word of God and the things of God. Right down the road, right in the front of us, the yoke fellow, if we can call ladies, fellows, yoke ministry, as we develop a plan for giving this church guidance and encouragement that it needs. And then if you're going to fast on Saturday, focus in, Ashley, ever who's leading the prayer, the sermon, ever who's doing Sunday night, focus in. I want to challenge you to do that. And I want to challenge you today, differently than I have been in the past, if you're willing to accept that challenge. Now listen to me carefully. As best you can. As best you can. You're going to give it your best. Would you just stand up? And I want you to know I'm standing. Well, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, as Alex plays...